Hello and welcome to Presenting, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder and Starfinder, but also others. I'm John Godick, and with me today is Dave Nelson. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, good to be here.
Yeah, it's great that you connected with me. I was actually just thinking, you know, I need to schedule another guest, and then out of the blue, you say, hey, I got some stuff coming. How about you interview me? So that was really kind of a very fortuitous meeting there.
Yeah, I try to connect with as many industry folks as I can. I've found that that's been very helpful in making connections and forming good lasting relationships. So,
Wait. Does that mean I'm an industry person now?
Well, yeah, you interview industry people.
I do. But I don't consider myself part of the industry. I'm more still kind of on the outside a little bit. So I'm hoping to get more involved, but you know, these sorts of things take time.
Yeah. Well, I've been Paizo freelancing for 2 years and, people seem to think I'm an old hat and, that's still weird to me. So,
yeah, well, you know, so now you mentioned it. So Dave is a freelancer with several writing credits with Legendary Games and Paizo, and he has more in the works. So Dave, you know, about this time last year, you were actually on another podcast for No Direction Network with Owen Casey Stevens, sharing your perspective as a brand new freelancer with no credits at the time. So how have things progressed since then? And also, how was that like being interviewed in a kind of a two-hour discussion with Owen Casey Stevens about stuff too?
Well, I'll answer that second part first. That was incredibly intimidating in the best way. I don't mean to put anything against the schedule that they put me on or the concept, but, you know, it's when somebody as experienced and great as Owen is being asked about something, it's very hard to find anything that you can say that adds something in the conversation that doesn't just come up with, yeah, I agree 100% with everything you just said.
Yeah, he's got a tremendous amount of experience. I he was one of the first batch of people I had the opportunity to interview, and it's just amazing how much he has done throughout his life, and you know, what so many things that he has his hands in right now.
Right, and you know, he really did me one better with the whole thing, because he was one of the first people I reached out to try and do some smaller freelancing before I really was trying to swing for the fences with Paizo. And he trotted out his query email that I had emailed him, and he had never gotten back to me for whatever reason. And he read it on that podcast in front of me and then reviewed it and gave me an A+, and, you know, admitted he should have responded. So...
Interesting. You know, this kind of brings up another point is, you know, you're sending out query letters and things. Can you talk about how you actually became a freelancer from not doing anything, you know, writing wise to getting involved and then getting some published credits?
Yeah. So the first thing that I did was I participated in the second to last RPG Superstar that Paizo did. Mm-hmm. And did okay. You know, I was very into trying to track whether or not my entry had made it through the first round or not. And it didn't quite, but it made it very far into the voting phase. So that was kind of a good sign for something I cooked up over a weekend. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the very next PaizoCon trying to look for work. And I asked pretty much everybody. And the answer is always, you know, we like people with established credits. And myself as a millennial, it's kind of like asking for 3 to 5 years worth of experience for your first job. Mm-hmm. So it took a while to find anybody who was kind of willing to take new people. I think the industry has gotten a lot better with this in even just those couple short years. And now there's people who, you know, on one of my legendary projects, he sent me an email saying, here, I found this, this, and this. How are these supposed to interact? And I chatted with him for a bit, and now he's writing for Legendary.
Neat.
So it's you can get in through all kinds of ways, and Paizo's been very good about pulling in new people as well. Mm-hmm. Some of the folks that I've met on previous projects have become very good friends, and you know, they have less credits than I do, but they're far more talented.
Now, so were the first things you did for Legendary Games then?
Yeah. So the first thing that I did was I got a monster entered into Wayfinder 18 on the year that I did not go to PaizoCon. So I couldn't even take a victory lap. And then that got me noticed enough, and I started talking with a few freelancers from Legendary, and Jawi, who's pretty famous for rewriting classes for them, said he was looking for bringing new people into the industry and offered basically a sort of co-designer role on one of the rewrites he had coming up. And that ended up being Legendary Cavaliers.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
I think currently has a seal of approval and 5 stars from Endzeitgeist and is silver on DriveThruRPG.
Nice. Nice. You know, I actually have a question about Legendary. I've done some things for them, and I actually, you know, I interviewed Jason Nelson. He's not related to you, is he?
No, he's not. Okay. That's something that I constantly try to point out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so probably somewhere very far back, but neither of us are aware of it.
Yeah, I'd actually interviewed him, and at the end of the interview, I said, hey, I'm interested in doing some writing. How do I do it? He actually signed me some things. I did some writing from, it was some conversions, right? So some conversions from Pathfinder 1 actually to Starfinder. And I thought, okay, that's great. And then all of a sudden he started publishing him. And then he starts sending me money. I was like, wow, this is amazing. I had no idea. And I still don't have no idea how it works, working for Legendary and getting paid.
So Legendary does something that other folks in the industry that I've worked with don't. They do it based on a profit sharing margin.
So I was gathering that, but I didn't know, you know, the mechanics of it. And yeah. I'm afraid to ask Jason because he's been so nice to me and he probably told me already and I just don't remember.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it definitely has pros and cons to it. I mean, if you are selling a PDF for $10 and you're making, I mean, I don't want to get too much into the actual mechanics of how much any individual thing pays, but
sure. Just some ballpark, you know.
Yeah, stuff. And I mean, if you're splitting it, so say you're splitting the author portion with 5 other co-authors and you're earning, you know, 30% off of the price of the PDF, you know, that's $2 or $3 an issue. And then, you know, it adds up to the point where you always, when you first release it, you'll get a huge lump sum.
Right.
Or bigger than you typically do. And then Jason still sends me money every month. And it's down to, you know, like $2 or $3 because not many people are playing Pathfinder 1 anymore.
Right.
But, you know, it's still very interesting to get that money. And when my most successful thing for Legendary, which is the one I did right after, which was a rewrite of the Magus class, came out, that first hit of royalties was really nice.
Oh, very cool. And how did you go from Legendary to working for Paizo?
So I got talking with a couple other people through various Discord servers. Discord has been wonderful in terms of connecting with freelancers all over. And then I heard that some of them were going to be going to a convention called OrcaCon. And so I went as well. And they knew I was going to be there. And they said, hey, do you want to get lunch? And I said, yeah, sure, why not? And then I was standing next to the table with somebody, and I thought I recognized him, and I thought I remembered his name, but I wasn't quite sure who it was until I figured out it was Luis Loza from Paizo.
Oh, yeah.
And Andrew Mullen and Kate Baker were the ones who were at the table with me and had invited me. And then Andrew knew I had just done Legendary Magus, and he mentioned it to Luis, and Luis said, I might have Pathfinder 2 stuff for you. Do you want to write it, maybe? And I said, sure. And he said, great, send me an email. And then I ran into him around breakfast the next day, and he said, I haven't gotten an email from you yet.
You're not anxious enough.
Well, exactly. And I said, well, I'm used to the professional office environment where you wait 48 hours before you send a follow-up email.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. You're like the second person I've interviewed recently that has mentioned Luis is somebody. The other person had to let Luis win at Mario Kart or something. That's all I can remember from that one.
Luis is a really great guy. And he and Eleanor have been very vocal about bringing new voices onto the Lost Omens line, which is where my first published Paizo credit was.
Very cool. Yeah. Yeah. So, and where's it gone from there? Now, you have some other things in the works that you can't talk about?
I do. I wrote like a madman over 2020, which is probably good, considering everything that was happening. It was good for my sanity to have some kind of purpose. Mm-hmm. And I've counted it out. Last year, if City of Lost Omens Absalom had come out on time, I would have had 2 Paizo books with my name in them.
Nice.
2021, I think I'm going to have about 6 or 7.
Wow. Wow. How did that explode so big?
You know, it felt like it didn't. And that's one of the things I want to try and tell other freelancers is you're going to have swaths of inactivity. And it really felt like I was not getting work when other people around me were. Mm-hmm. And that's where Discord became a double-edged sword, because I'm in a few small condensed servers with other Paizo people, and they're saying, you know, I got a project from Paizo, I'm going to be busy or what have you, without spoiling any NDAs. And it felt like I had been ignored. And then I started getting projects almost 2 at a time.
Wow.
About March last year, I was working on 2 projects simultaneously. And then also in October, I was working on 2 projects simultaneously. And then again, in December, I was working on 2 simultaneous projects.
Wow. And are they like a AP and a hardcover, or are there different kind of things like that?
Yeah, they're very different things. Okay. At this point, I think I'm down only 2 product lines from having written for the entirety of Paizo's current products, adventure card game notwithstanding.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. You know, so you kind of have an interesting background, and I'm wondering to the extent to which that has helped you in your writing and in, you know, kind of developing what you're working on. So you have two degree areas. One of them is in comparative religion and classics. And then way over here, you have cybersecurity. Now, I can see how the classics and comparative religion would help a lot with you know, like with Pathfinder sorts of things. Does cybersecurity kind of play in there as well?
It does. On a project coming out in March that you'll see my name attached to, I got to play a little bit with cybersecurity in Starfinder.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yeah.
But I remember when I finally sat down and read the Starfinder rules, because I was very Pathfinder focused for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I caught a conversation with James Sutter on Twitter, and I said, hey, I just need you to know the way you do the computer skill checks in order to access terminals in Starfinder is massively incorrect and not realistic at all. But I mean, it's game mechanics, but you know, I look at it and the skill says, you know, everything has root access. And if you don't have root access, then you need to make a computer skill check. And I'm like, well, actually, if you don't have root access, you can barely do anything on a lot of systems.
Yeah, I think a lot of things. So I primarily am in the Starfinder universe, though I have written some stuff for Pathfinder now as well. It's everything in the system is simplified. And I think it's just, you know, if you wanted to make it more realistic, then you would be spending way more time doing things that maybe players or a lot of players might be less interested in doing in general.
I agree. And I think that's a design philosophy that, that Paizo's sort of been at odds with itself about. You know, I cut my teeth doing Pathfinder 1 mechanics, and that's based on Dungeons & Dragons 3.5, which is very much, we need to make the system as realistic as possible, but then that increases the complexity of it to the point where it stops being fun in places. I point to the old grapple rules, which are an absolute nightmare, and you need a literal flow chart in order to figure out what happens. And losing a little bit of verisimilitude and pedantic realism in order to speed up the game and have it be more fun for everybody is a better design philosophy, in my opinion. So I'm glad that Paizo really is moving towards that.
Yeah, though, almost, you know, there's been some stuff on YouTube of late where people have talked about everything everybody does in second edition is the same. And, you know, a lot of talk going back and forth about that. I don't see that that extreme where everything's so simplified that you're basically repeating the same thing over and over again, because that's the maximum thing you can do. But I do agree that it's nice to have some things complex and interesting. It's nice to have some things simplified, especially if the things that are more complex are the things that people are really into. And right. the things that are simplified are things that people are, you know, that's good flavor, but that's not why we play the game.
I agree. And I think Pathfinder 2 specifically, and to an extent Starfinder as well, which I'm getting more familiar with, but not quite an expert in yet. I think they both walk the line a lot better. And I mean, I don't want to point fingers on any particular other systems, but some very, very popular ones I look at and I say, well, this will entertain me for about 5 to 10 sessions, but then I don't feel like I have enough options or depth in order to do anything more interesting once I've played it a bit.
Right. Yeah, I
still don't
feel
that with Paizo products. I feel like the complexity has been reduced, but in the places where it needed to be.
No, I agree. I think the long-term playability of the Paizo products as they exist now is actually quite good. You know, I'm curious, you know, you're working in cybersecurity now. There was this big, what was it, SolarWinds kind of hack coming in. Can you talk about that a little bit more? I haven't talked to any cybersecurity experts about kind of how that actually affected things and how, you know, what can be done or what has been done to kind of stop that from those sorts of things from happening.
That's not one of the ones that I've recently really looked into.
I
should clarify that my current day job is not in cybersecurity. And a lot of that stuff is hush hush, you know,
right.
because you don't want it to.
Oh man, I know.
So it's, you know, I could do some research and I'm sure I can get back to you outside of the interview about it if you're still curious, but I hadn't heard or caught wind of any of that yet.
Okay. I was just kind of curious, you know, if it was just some sort of glaring holes in systems that were being exploited or, you know, I was just kind of curious. It seemed to be such a big prevalent thing. You know?
Most of the time, what it is it's not some grand, you know, plots or massive exploit that anybody's doing. It's that somebody forgot to log out from a server or, you know, somebody left their password sitting on their desk and some kind of person with criminal intent went in posing as a janitor or a delivery guy and then saw the password and then utilized that to gain interior access.
Oh, so a lot of social hacking rather than actual computer hacking.
The social engineering aspect is far more prevalent and disastrous than, you know, some person sitting in a country in far eastern Europe and doing everything from their basement and never interacting with the populace. That's a bit of a action movie myth.
Man,
it does happen.
My bubble,
it's not the big thing.
Oh yeah, that probably means that we have to continue to do a lot of this mundane cybersecurity training and make sure we change our passwords all the time and stuff like that, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's the emails have gotten more sophisticated and smart than I am a Nigerian prince. Please send me your banking info so that I can give you $6 billion tomorrow morning. But the concept is still the same. You gain trust, you trick them into doing something. You know, it can be as simple as you get sent a password or a email to your work email that says, you know, your account will be locked in 2 hours if you don't click this link in order to change your password. And, you know, really the things to watch out for are urgency, them asking you to do something that seems a little weird, any links from any addresses you don't recognize, that kind of stuff. I relate a lot to kind of like driving on the road. You need to be safe and attentive to what you're doing, but you can't necessarily defend yourselves from other people not being safe and attentive.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I figured I had a cybersecurity expert. Maybe I could get some more insights. Not that I'm trying to hack any systems. Just want to say
But general interest is good, and it keeps people more aware so they don't actually, you know, get hit by one themselves.
Yeah. So what advice do you have for people that want to get into writing for Paizo and Legendary and get involved in the industry?
Well, I say, first of all, don't be afraid to start small. You know, Paizo isn't exactly Wizards of the Coast, but they do have a lot of people inquiring with them and knocking down their door. Definitely look for any place where it's any kind of contest similar to RPG Superstar. Paizo itself doesn't do that, but I think Roll for Combat did one earlier, and that's a good way to get noticed a little bit. Wayfinder is a great resource. And it's not that they want you to have written a best-selling platinum-level object on DriveThruRPG before they'll ever even take an email from you. The big thing that they want to know is, can you meet deadlines? Are you good to work with? If I tell you to do this, are you going to hand me what I asked for? Or are you going to go off on your own and write something completely different? Being able to follow instructions is an absolute must. Because Paizo doesn't have the time to rewrite all of the things that you hand in if it's not what they asked for. But absolutely, if anybody's curious, you can feel free to reach out for me. I'm sure John will ask me to share my info later, and I'll talk to anybody who wants to get more in depth about it.
Yeah, actually, if you want to share your info now, that'd be fine.
Sure. Anybody who wants to try to find me, probably the best way is via Twitter, which is at Davik the Grey, DavikTheGrey. I'm on there all the time yelling about politics and writing and representation.
Very cool. Now, I'm curious. I noticed that Davik the Grey was your Discord handle. Also, is that like one of your first Paizo characters or Pathfinder characters?
No, that was back when I was in high school. My big drive was not actually to write game mechanics, but it was to be the best new American fantasy novelist. And I realized about 3 or 4 years ago that I'm a good author and I'm a great freelance writer and I'm a pretty darn good designer, but I'm not a good novelist. And those are separate skills. I can write setting material until the cows come home, but I don't think I can launch something the size of Game of Thrones. So it just kind of fell to the wayside, but the name has stuck.
Interesting. So that was like a character in one of your novels you're working
on? Yeah, it was one of the primary characters.
Ah, very cool. Yeah, you know, when I was growing up, I wanted to write science fiction. And same thing, you know, back in the day, you could do like short stories and submit in places. And so I'd done some of that. Always wanted to write a novel, just so immense. I think RPG writing is a lot more technical and to some extent shorter. You get a lot more guidelines and frameworks for it. So I think it's a little bit easier to sink your teeth into in general.
Yeah. And I found also I worked a lot better with that framework too. Of, you know, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I want to do this, I can take it and run with it. And I can hand in something with an angle that they didn't consider. But it's hard for me to create from literally nothing.
Right, right. Nope, I hear you. Yeah, well, if you do a new monster, you're kind of doing something literally from nothing, aren't you?
Sometimes. You know, some monsters, you know, in the case of the one from Wayfinder 18 that you can easily check out, that was basically a tree monster because the theme of that year was Fae in the First World. And I thought, okay, you know, now what would be interesting? And I submitted two things. I submitted a actual playable race for Pathfinder 1 because that was the prevalent system at the time. That was basically a giant humanoid bee. and I submitted a giant tree that's kind of chokes out with pollen that gets in you, and it sort of does an alien kind of thing where it destroys your body, and then from the actual particles of that, it reproduces and creates a new one of them. So, but I don't think I would have arrived at that if I hadn't been told Fae First World plants.
So, if just given a clean slate, that's not where you started.
That's probably not where my mind first would have gone. No, I probably would have made something a little bit more. I don't want to say generic, but a little bit more obviously mythological. I would have probably picked two animals and combined them in a really weird way to make something truly terrifying. which right. in and of itself is fun, but with the prompt, I was able to come up with something that wouldn't have entered my mind to begin with.
Now, do you still contribute to Wayfinder, even though now you've been pretty prolific here with Paizo?
I personally do not, and that's a choice that I made, because Wayfinder only takes a certain number of people, and since I know that it was my entry, I want it to be the entry for as many other possible voices as there are. I do know some freelancers that do still submit to Wayfinder, and that's fine for them. It's just something that I've chosen not to do.
Mm-hmm. Very neat. So what's next for Dave that you can actually talk about?
There are going to be three products in March with my name on them, all from Paizo, ranging from two Starfinder products and a Pathfinder product, and several other things. I can, now that the playtest is actually out, say that I worked on Guns and Gears. Can't tell you what, but I did contribute to that, as well as a few things that haven't been announced yet. But I'm slowly taking off the boxes and trying to work on as many product lines as I can. And so far I have two to go, the adventure card game notwithstanding.
Nice, nice. Yeah, you know, the playtest is actually really exciting, you know, especially, you know, I think everybody was kind of looking forward to having the Gunslinger coming out. But the inventor, having something really new, I think is a really cool and bold move, actually, from Paizo.
Yeah, well, I had been thinking for a while. I was telling myself, Paizo keeps hinting that they're not just going to rehash old material, but then even with the Advanced Player's Guide, we see one first edition classes. So I was wondering when we were going to get to that new material that they had been hinting at. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw that it was the Adventurer and the Gunslinger, I really did a bit of a half and half take. I rolled my eyes at the Gunslinger. I'm still one of those people who doesn't feel like it needs to be an entire class all its own. From a design standpoint, I think you can just make guns functional, and then they can just be in the game without needing an entire class dedicated to them. But the Inventor is fantastic, and it's one of the things that I've always wanted in my tabletop games, which is somebody who can wander around with a variety of solutions in a toolkit, and then they take a look at whatever they're fighting and say, oh, I know about this. I have a trick for this. And then they change their combat style on the fly for a split second. And the Inventor has a lot of tools that allow you to do that. And also, I just very much like good uses of intelligence-based classes that aren't spellcasters.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about the Inventor. I'm scheduled to start playing to jump in. Somebody had dropped out of an Age of Ashes game in book three, so I'm scheduled to jump in as a ninth level character. And so I'm looking at making a ninth level Inventor to go through that.
Yeah. I'm really excited for Inventor because it's a great excuse to play a hobgoblin character, which is one of my favorite things in the Galarian setting, is how they have hobgoblins. And hobgoblins are interesting because they're kind of at odds with what their statistics want you to do with them. They don't trust arcane magic, so you probably wouldn't be a wizard unless you want to be the exact opposite of the ancestry you're playing, which some people do, but when all PCs are that, it becomes boring. But then you can't really take advantage of the intelligence as much either unless you do, say, an alchemist. And Inventor is a really good route for that allows you to be a lot more physical but still capitalize off of what your ancestry gives you. So I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. Are you playing in any games now?
So I had a game where I was converting Iron Fang Invasion for a bunch of my friends here in Albany. And that got put on hold because of COVID, and a lot of the group didn't like using virtual tabletop. And I mentioned all the freelancer friends I have. I run a game that's Paizo freelancers only, and I'm converting War for the Crown in the second edition.
Oh, very cool.
And if you ever get a chance to play with other Paizo freelancers, I highly recommend it. They are fantastic.
Well, if somebody would invite me, I would. But yeah, so yeah, shout out to anybody that has a game.
Well, I'll let you know if one of my players decides to drop out. Maybe I'll give you a ring.
Excellent. I see a lot of people get invited to actual plays and things like that. And it's like, man, I'm waiting. You know, I'm waiting for somebody to give me an invite because I'm looking.
That's one of the things I wanted to achieve in 2020 that didn't actually happen. Is I wanted to try and be on an actual play, even just as a guest, or try to get a full one up and running. But you know, maybe 2021, maybe not.
Well, I would highly suggest being a player rather than GMing and editing and producing, because I've been doing that for a couple years. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
I can say I would like the GMing. I don't think the editing and producing would really be in my skill set. But I am what they refer to as a forever GM. So if I can find somebody who will run a game for me, that would be very interesting for me not to have to talk to myself during a lot of the conversations.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, Dave, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Yep, not a problem. Thank you for having me.